So almost 10 years ago, my family visited Tanzania, and I brought back this ebony giraffe. It's a beautiful little carving, and the dark wood on it just shines. The only thing is, these four legs didn't get all carved exactly the same length, and so it tends to be a little unstable. And so twice now, this beautiful giraffe has fallen off the mantle, landed on the hearth, and snapped off one of these thin ears up here. But super glue is a wonderful thing. And really, unless you know what you're looking for, even knowing what I'm looking for, I can hardly tell that it was ever broken. Some things work like that, right? For all intents and purposes, they go back to being the way that they always were. I'm going to put this down because I can't get it to sit up here, and we don't need to break another ear off this morning. But it's wonderful when things can get repaired back to how they always were. When I think about this, I think of my greatest ever, and I'm sure that as long as I live, it will continue to be my greatest ever automotive achievement. When Carrie had that old Dodge Neon when we met, and even when we came to Holly Grove, in fact, and the thing shook like crazy when it idled. And I hardly know anything about cars, but when you know the car is only worth like $300, you start to get really adventurous with what you're willing to try to work on yourself. And so a trip to the junkyard later, my brother and I replaced a broken engine mount, and it was like night and day. This thing ran so smooth. What was broken had gotten put back together, and even though it's been a couple of years now, that car, miraculously in my mind, is still running to this day. And it's great when it works like that, when something broken goes back to being the way it always had been. But that's not always possible, right? Because it can also happen that things are broken to the point that there is no going back. And that, for me, brings to mind the complete set of painted glass ball ornaments that came from my grandmother in their original 1960s packaging that we thought we'd put out this year. We knew they were too fragile for the tree inside with a toddler in the house, so we thought, well, we'll put them on the front door on the wreath. But, of course, as you are anticipating, we watched several of them shatter then onto the concrete of our front porch as we put them up in November. And when these things fell about 7 feet onto concrete, we're talking all that was left was dust. Like, we're still finding pieces on the porch now, months later. And when it's something like that, there's just no putting it back together the way that it was. There's no repairing it. There was also a time that I think of when something couldn't be repaired. About 7 or so years ago, I was in Bryan, Texas on a first date with this girl, and maybe it was the nerves, but I was talking with my hands, and I knocked over a wine glass into my plate, and it landed in about 50 pieces. It's pretty embarrassing, and even though the story has a happy ending in the long run, there was just no way that that glass was going to go back the way that it was. There's no way it could have been repaired, because sometimes there's simply no putting things back like they were. In the Gospel of Mark, the baptism of Jesus is one of these times when things will never, ever be the same as they were. Jesus is coming up out of the water. Presumably John's dunked him down. And he doesn't just see, as he comes up, the sky being opened. He doesn't see the clouds simply part. No, he sees the heavens torn apart. The word here has a destructive undertone, almost a violent one. And the sense is that what once was has been forever destroyed. The Holy Spirit tearing things apart to come down among us. This is significant because before, in the progression of the world and our scientific knowledge, before we knew about the way the solar system worked, before we knew about the earth being round, before any of that, the way that people thought of the world was that you had the earth, right? And then you had the sky, and those things we were pretty sure about because we could see them. But then that above the sky, there was this dome that was this physical barrier that sort of sat on top of the sky, and it separated the earthly world down here that we could see and interact with from the heavens up above. And this dome was pretty important because in addition to a layer of water in there that the dome was holding up, the heavens were also widely thought to be where God resided. And you don't necessarily just want God to show up for dinner unannounced, right? What if you haven't vacuumed? So in general, people really weren't upset about this dome arrangement, the way that they understood the world. But it did mean that there was always this sense that there was a permanent barrier then, a permanent separation between people down here on the earth and God up there on the other side of that dome. We've just come through the Christmas season, so I probably don't have to work too hard to remind you that for us, this separation all begins to fall away with the birth of Jesus, right? Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. But what we get in Mark's account of the baptism of Jesus is this over-the-top, explicit announcement when Jesus is baptized that things have forever changed in the way that we view the world. If we thought that there might have been some sort of barrier separating us from God, well, God rips it apart, tears open everything and anything that could separate us from God, tears it down such that it could never be put back as the heavens are torn open and the Holy Spirit descends. And because we know the end of this story too, this Jesus story, we know that this tearing down of barriers between humanity and God does not stop there at the baptism of Jesus, because what was begun in the manger and in the ripping open of the heavens carries through to the cross and to the grave when the curtain of the temple is torn and even very death itself is ripped apart, shattered, smashed into the dust of a million pieces by the God who will not stop loving you, will not stop pursuing you, will not stop tearing apart anything that could get in the way, any barrier that would keep you and God apart. And actually, even though we're talking about breaking things, this is repair. The breaking down of barriers, it turns out, is actually putting something back together that was not whole, our relationship with God. The relationship that we could never make right with our own behavior, but that God repairs. We experience this repair most clearly in the waters of our baptism, where in water and in word God claims us, not if we can check certain boxes, not if we can get it together. We come empty-handed, and God says to us something an awful lot like what God says to Jesus at his baptism. You are my precious child. I love you. God says to us, I've got this one. Don't worry about it. You are mine. It's a tremendous thing to hear. Now, for sure, daily, we have to struggle to live into that identity, to remember our baptisms and the calling that goes with them. But we do that, we struggle that way on firm footing. Footing that we know is firm not because you or I are sure-footed, but because God holds us, holds you, supports you, loves you, and nothing in this world or beyond can change that. Because anything conceivable that could separate you, that could stand between you and God, God tears it to shreds for the sake of making you whole. Thanks be to God. Amen.